Welcome to this very special edition of Behind the Podcast. This is your co-host, Richard Greaser. And joining me tonight is Rod Palmer, as usual. But tonight we have a special guest. We have Bar Miner joining us. And so to give you a little bit of a backstory, it's been kind of a chaotic night. So we had somebody slotted for this interview, and they canceled for a legitimate reason. And then I proceeded to find two replacements to join us. They both canceled for illegitimate reasons. They're just not, they don't understand the importance of Bitcoin podcasting. And, you know, when you get asked to go on somebody's Bitcoin podcast, you should do it. You should do it because the price of Bitcoin is dependent on Bitcoin podcasters. You need more Bitcoin podcasts. And in order for there to be more Bitcoin podcasts, there needs to be more Bitcoin podcast guests. But what ended up happening is at the location I'm at right now, I ended up running into a drunk barn miner who last minute agreed to come on the show and save the day. He saved us from a guest list behind the podcast, which is what Ron and I were about to do. So thank you, Barn Miner. Thank you for coming on the show.
No, I appreciate being the fourth suggestion for the show. It's good. Cool.
Hell yeah. Barn Miner, are you slanging? Are you slanging beef jerky? Are you slanging spicy beef jerky? Where you at right now, or why are you? Is this a vacation away from the jerky making business?
So I did a smoke on Saturday, right? In effort to, you know, create the supply, or actually the demand for the jerky, and I'm actually out of jerky, so I should have made probably double. However, I underestimated the demand of the Tennesseans. So I brought about 7 pounds, 8 pounds, and I'm out.
Does the TSA, we orange pilled a lot of them, and they listen to Bitcoin podcasts now. Does anybody in the TSA ever see your 8 pounds of beef jerky? And they're like, wow, we don't even need to look in his bags any deeper. That's just Barn Miner. He's taking his beef jerky on the road with him. Or do they ask questions?
No, I was actually concerned, and I Googled it and looked about, you know, what the requirement. Actually, I had my daughter to Google it in the car. I picked her up from school, and she's like, no, it's cool. You can bring whatever you want for foodstuffs, just no liquids. So fuck it. I got like 8 pounds of jerky. I'll bring it. And I carried it on because it's awesome. Chicken bags, so fuck it.
That's an interesting story. So just from my personal perspective, I would never trust a girl to Google something and let me know whether or not it was against the law or if it was compliant or if I was going to get in trouble for trying to cross state border. Like, I would never trust. But you asked your daughter and you trusted her with that. I would not trust my wife with Googling something. So that's just something I thought was interesting.
Yeah, I fully believe and, you know, have faith in her. So, you know, my kin, my sperm, right? My dog.
Sure.
My DNA. Why not?
I imagine it's probably a very similar relationship that Donald Trump has with his sons, Don Jr. and Eric, who are managing his crypto investments.
Right, yeah, now. I wouldn't disagree. I mean.
Right, yeah. Donald Trump has been, he said this like on Joe Rogan. It is his DNA, like he said. Like he looks at his sons and he goes, these guys know which meme coins are going to make me rich.
Yeah, because they're in-laws, right?
Right, right. Exactly.
You know, my daughter is different from an in-law, so I don't know. Got a different opinion.
That's true.
I need no comment.
So it sounds like there's a lot of demand in the market for some non-KYC jerky.
Oh, absolutely. So I kind of hinted that I'd have non-KYC smokes, and it You know, I haven't had a demand for it. Nobody has asked me. But I did say that Dick would have some SIGs just to kind of help out. So maybe tomorrow. I got here a little late today. But maybe tomorrow we'll have a little bit of demand and possibly be able to sling some SIGs in addition to jerky. However, the jerky is mostly gone. I got like we did 50 packs, and got like 4 packs.
Well, we're not doing video, but I just handed Barn Miner a pack of not KYC cigarettes, and now he's throwing the trash on my typewriter.
Yeah, it's bad because I used to smoke for 20 years, like a pack a day. 2 packs.
Would you say that, like, for some people, quitting smoking cigarettes is kind of like getting snipped so you can't have kids anymore? It kind of makes you feel like just less of a man.
No, I disagree, because I had 3 kids after I quit.
I feel like quitting smoking is kind of like being castrated. You know what I mean?
Just right. That's what I was kind of going with. It's metaphorically. You have to go through that creating process.
No, I mean, I don't feel like I got castrated. I still use nicotine. I do miss smoking.
But like, you know, like Zed and Vage, so it's like, it's like pain sitting right down. It's not like the full non-compliant, like, way that nature meant for you to pee. You know, it's like, it's not how nature meant for you to ingest tobacco.
It's kind of like sitting down to pee, right? If you hit a vape, you're going to sit down to pee at night. If you hit a cig...
It's very similar. Sometimes we have to quit smoking because our wives make us. And sometimes we have to stop standing when we pee. And we have to sit down when we pee because our wives make us. Sure. And it's just sometimes you have to be compromised. It's there's no perfect wife. Sometimes you have to make trade-offs. And sometimes the trade-off is that your wife makes you quit smoking. She makes you sit down when you pee.
You know, at night, I can give you that. I'll pick pick your battles, right? So at night, if you're not standing up, they get pissed off, right? So maybe sit down, right?
They get pissed off because we're pissing on the seat. But if we can prove to our wives that we can piss completely in the toilet, sometimes they will let us stand again.
I think you pick your battles, dude. So if you can and you can win and you're good with that, or you want to put your, you want to put your shares on that, you're good. So fight it. If not,
But it's an interesting dynamic. Every marriage is different. So our friend Sly Goomba, his girlfriend has way more Bitcoin than him. And she hasn't listened to nearly as many Bitcoin podcasts, almost zero, but she has more Bitcoin than him. And do you think that you would have to choose your battles more carefully if your wife has more Bitcoin than you?
No, if you have a good relationship, you love your wife, you guys are married for a reason. No, not at all.
What about you? What do you think, Richard?
Sorry, I was looking away. What was the question?
I said, do you think that you would have to pick your battles more carefully if your wife has more Bitcoin than you?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people feel insecurity about stuff like that. And I think my answer, if your wife has more Bitcoin than you and you feel insecure about it, there's only one solution to it. And I wouldn't necessarily say it's about just like communicating well in your relationship and understanding that different people are better at different things. I think you have to reject those premises, right? I think the answer is, if you're listening to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcasts a week and your wife has more Bitcoin than you, then you need to listen to 80 hours.
It's the only it's like the Jocko Willink, the video where he's like, you didn't get that promotion? Good. Couldn't go on that deployment? Good. Wife has more Bitcoin than you? Good. It's an opportunity to grow. It's an opportunity to listen to more Bitcoin podcasts until you are the alpha Bitcoiner in your marriage.
So Richard's suggestion, to be clear, is you got to double down, right?
Yep.
If you feel like your wife is holding more and she's more than you, you got to double down, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think you got to double down. And, you know, I think you have to set yourself up for success because you could play the long game with it. You know, like she might have more Bitcoin than you now, but you know that Bitcoin's going to have some sort of scaling solution and she's going to spend it all because that's what women do. They spend money.
So what's your game plan? Say that this instance occurs, right? Your wife has more Bitcoin. She's smaller, right? And she's telling you what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you reconcile this? You know, is it an issue for you that she has more?
I think it should be an issue for every man that their wife has more Bitcoin.
But what? Why? Why is this?
Because you're a man.
Because you're a man, you think in your mind that the wife should have less.
This is the Bushido.
If it was fiat money, or stocks, or bonds, I wouldn't care that my wife had more of those than me.
Okay.
But if she has more Bitcoin than me, that means that she has a lower time preference than me, so I need to get on her time preference level. That also means that she has, you know, she is more of a cypherpunk than me. And it's not that I don't want my wife to be a cypherpunk. I just don't want to be less of a cypherpunk than her.
Okay, I feel that.
This is the Bushido of Bitcoin, is never allowing your wife to have more Bitcoin than you.
So this is a goal for both of you, right?
Well, it's not.
You would make sure that you had one.
It's not a problem for us because
this is a hypothetical situation. We obviously have more than our wives.
Yeah.
I won't disclose our. When the law says you are community property, right? So you own together.
Not your keys, not your coin.
Yeah. Well, you know, you both have keys. If one knows how to use it and the other doesn't, it's still your keys.
What if the wife claims that she lost her keys in a boating accident? Do you think the family court judge will side with her?
Good question. I don't know.
I think so. This is going to be a real problem. And this is great that we're having this conversation because we're going to see this more and more because women have this skill that most men don't have, right? Which is that they can sell meme coins a lot more easily, right? Which means that they can amass a lot more Bitcoin quicker. So I think as a man, you have to know what your skill sets are. And I think one of the first things you do in those scenarios is you double your podcast listening. And then you also start your own podcast.
Yeah, I mean, starting your podcast will allow you to get Deuce on Fountain, and that's one of the revenue streams that you can use to eventually have more Bitcoin than your wife. But you have to be careful. You don't want your wife to start a Bitcoin podcast because she's going to get more boosts than you. It's like trying to open your marriage and or open your relationship where anybody can have sex with the same amount of people they want. Your wife is going to get way more boosts than you are, and it's going to make you grow resentful.
Yeah, I think, like, you don't want to sabotage your wife because this is the Bitcoin that... Hold on one sec.
Sorry.
Like, this very well potentially could be the Bitcoin. This is intergenerational wealth. You know what I mean? Like, this is the Bitcoin for your kids. And... So you don't want to sabotage. Like, I kind of imagine, you know, a lot of guys that are insecure, they're going to want to do things like tell their wife that they should put her Bitcoin on BlockFi or whatever the next version of BlockFi is. Because you know it's going to blow up and you know she's going to lose it and you know that you're going to end up with more. But that's not the solution, right? I think it's a challenge to you as a man to perform.
I don't disagree, but I think if you pick the right partner and you're making the right decision for your family, that they'll be on board, you know.
But it's also almost a trope where women have memes where they'll post, and it's like, I can save him. There's a lot of girls, they want to save a man.
Yes.
And Bitcoin allows women to afford to save a man. And so sometimes you need to be saved by a woman that has more Bitcoin than you, and it will encourage you and incentivize you to start listening to so many Bitcoin podcast hours per week that she did save you. You saved yourself.
Yep.
And Bitcoin fixed you.
I wouldn't look at that as a distraction or deterrent. I think that if you've got a woman that you've just met that's going to do that, that's great. I think that if you've been in a long-term relationship and they have more Bitcoin, you know, why not? What's the point? You know, you guys are on the same page. So catch up, motherfucker.
So as we're speaking right now, the Bitcoin price has now crossed. It's back into 105,000. What do we think is the catalyst for Bitcoin's outperformance today, especially its meme coins? Does it seem like the strategic Bitcoin reserve is starting to kick out the shit coiners and it's going to be a Bitcoin only reserve? Or what's your read on this? Why is the Bitcoin price pumping right now?
I have no clue. I stopped looking at price. I don't know, like a year.
Okay. Okay. So you don't look at it all. Yes. Sometimes
I will look at it when I sell some because I need, you know, some fiat. So.
Right. Right.
But
It on a podcast, we don't get to talk to people, like low time preference people like yourself. Most of us check the price way too often. It's one of those things we're trying to break the habit of.
No, I don't disagree. And I feel that and I feel it and I see it. And, you know, friends, family look at it. But, you know, after a full cycle, two cycles, it's not, if you're all in.
Actually, that's a good point. If you've done your job and you have orange-pilled your friends and family and you're a good Bitcoin patriarch, after a cycle or two, you don't even have to check the price anymore. Your family will check the price and tell it to you for you.
Right.
Your family will text you and tell you what the price is. Your mom, your dad, they'll call you. Your kids will text you. Yeah, that's the mark of a successful Bitcoiner, when your family a cycle or two later is continuously telling you the price. You don't have to look yourself.
Yeah, I don't disagree. If you know, if you find out the price was 100 grand or 90 grand or whatever, whatever, by a friend who sent you a text or some Twitter post, right?
Honestly, I would be so honored to have found out that Bitcoin crossed 100K, yeah, because I got a call from my daughter or my son.
Yeah, or your
that
dad.
Would be the best. Yeah, that would be the best way to find out.
I don't disagree.
I know the real reason why Bitcoin ripped today. You guys ready for this?
What's the price?
Roger said it was 105.
Yeah.
So the real reason why it ripped today was because Dennis Porter ended his announcement in hiatus. Did you see this?
No, which announcement?
There's more states to take credit for the strategic Bitcoin reserve digital asset bills going through committees in the state legislature. And Dennis Porter was leaked this information and he was able to get out and make an announcement.
I'm not excited. I thought that SBR meant for, you know, short barrel rifles and the, you know, ATF shit. And I have a short barrel, you know, I have one. And I really thought that SBR meant that I wouldn't have to apply for a tax stamp. And I was excited. But I found out that Dennis was doing some other shit. Right?
Yeah. I have a below average sized penis. And I tell my wife I call it the short barrel rifle. And I told my wife that the SBR was going to be very, very big in 2025. So she's really excited about that. She thinks I'm talking about my short barrel rifle.
Well, I'm happy for you.
I'm sure your wife appreciates that.
If it comes to fruition, right?
Oh, exactly, exactly. But, you know, my promises usually come to fruition a lot faster than most people.
Good, good.
So we were talking a little bit before. So you got drunk tonight. You didn't buy your drinks. with Bitcoin.
No, correct. I use Amex.
You KYC. So you're doing some fiat drinking. What do you think there's a difference between drinking on a fiat standard versus a Bitcoin standard?
Mentally, no. Financially, yes.
So explain that. So what's the difference financially?
So financially, if I bought that Bitcoin or earned that Bitcoin, which I don't buy Bitcoin, actually, I haven't in several years. So if I earned it several years ago, like I produced that energy and did whatever to earn it back then, I bought it for whatever I committed to earning, you know, creating that energy back then. So if I would purchase it in Bitcoin, it would have cost me a lot less in energy, whether it be paying for the power bill or smoking some jerky. It would be a positive gain, right? So unfortunately, they don't accept it on the plane or at the airport, so I had to pay with the credit card or cash or whatever.
Does paying for things in Bitcoin make it harder for you to afford your taxes?
I couldn't tell you. I'll tell you once I file. We can do a follow-up once we file. Last year, it did hit me hard.
How can you say the difference, that there's a difference financially but not mentally? How, if something affects you financially as a Bitcoiner, that is, you are constantly reassessing the thermodynamics of the situation when prices change. So how can you say it doesn't affect you mentally?
I disagree. It does affect you mentally. It's like a double-edged sword, right? You get sliced on both ways. So, yes, you earned that Bitcoin a year ago, and it's tripled, doubled, whatever. We're gone down, right? Depends on the market. And you get hit when you got to pay taxes. You play the game. You got to play by the rules, right? So, you know, I really don't have an answer. Honestly. You get fucked or you don't get fucked. Depends on the market and the year.
It's a bad year if you get fucked by the IRS. Absolutely. But you don't get a girlfriend, so you don't get fucked in the good way.
You know, I'm happily married. My wife is a wonderful woman. So not an issue, right?
Right. Not everybody's as lucky.
Yeah, it took two cycles, right, for her to get on board. So we're still married. She still loves me, right? We're still good.
So one thing, there's been a couple devastating news stories that have developed over the last couple of days. A lot of people are incredibly disappointed. So a lot of PodConf women were very excited that Ross was getting out of prison, right? They wanted to shoot their shot at Ross. And he just cock-blocked all of them, essentially, by posting a picture with his wife. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think the PodConf women can mentally recover from this lost opportunity?
Personally, I don't think Ross gives a shit about, you know, the floozies, right? So he's married. He's got a woman. I got really no other comment other than that.
Well, Aubrey Strobel seems to have rebounded extremely quickly. She posted
a quite impressive, quite impressive. This was the highlight post, I would say. This is the highlight post of Bitcoin Twitter tonight.
I'll have to look at it. I've not seen it.
She got a selfie with, can you remind me of his name, Richard? But the guy that saved everybody on the New York subway and they tried to send him to jail. Daniel Penny. She got a selfie with Daniel Penny at a bodega in New York City.
So what's her deal? She wants
to she found out that Ross Ulbricht is married and that she can't share a shot with him. So she didn't mope. She didn't whine. She went out and found a single man who's
good for her. You know, he's off limits. good for him.
It was a happy ending. It was a happy ending is all. Maybe I think maybe that's why the Bitcoin price is going up.
Possibly, so, yes.
So the question is, so Aubrey seems to have handled and navigated this disappointment very well. What are the other PodConf women going to do? Let's think about the eligible bachelors that are out there for them. So Kyle Rittenhouse is on the table.
And honestly, they're going to have to settle, right? So they can't go for the top dog. They're going to have to go for the lower hanging fruit.
They have to go for the eligible bachelor. And right now, the eligible bachelors are Kyle Rittenhouse is one. Daniel Penny, who we just talked about. I mean, some people consider Tim Pool to be one of these eligible bachelors. Shane Hazel from the Bitcoin Veterans. It is the other Mike Hobart from the Bitcoin Veterans. There's a lot of bad boys out there, and it's scarcity in alpha male Bitcoin podcast influencers.
You know, I don't follow it. I don't disagree with your comments. I don't know all the names, but I agree with your sentiment, which means that they got to go, less likely on the totem pole, right? So they're going to go and number one is not available. So what, number two?
So in the anarcho-capitalist circles, I would say that Kyle Rittenhouse is a type of folk hero, right? Because in anarcho-capitalism, there's nothing more important than private property.
Well, another good example is the rooftop Koreans from the LA riots. The rooftop Koreans got on top of their nail salons and they shot anybody who tried to take their acrylic acid out of their shops.
Yeah, that's a good point. So this is a good dating tip for any Asian Bitcoin men out there. If you want to shoot your shot at one of these PodConf girls, if you want to shoot your shot at Michelle Weekly or, whichever other ones, Haley Lennon, just claim you're one of the rooftop Koreans.
Or, get your ass out there during a riot and start shooting motherfuckers, right? I mean,
that is the other option, yes. But if you're Korean, the easiest way is to say you're a rooftop Korean.
Well, think about that. So, imagine you're not Korean, right? Like, imagine your family is Chinese descent.
Or you're Kyle, right?
This is one of the challenges of lying on the first date to impress a girl is, what happens if you are dating Haley Lennon for a while, you take her home with you, she has this belief the whole time that you were one of the rooftop Koreans, and she meets your family and finds out that they're actually Chinese.
Yeah, the last thing, I mean, this might be controversial to say, but I think it's true. There's nobody that's more racist than Asians towards other Asians. And if people in the Asian community find out that you have stolen rooftop Korean valor, you will have zero respect at any family events in any of the Asian households that you could possibly find yourself in.
You know, I really don't have that much life experience with Asians. I think the most memorable one was when I was in elementary school. I went to a Cambodian celebration of a birthday. It's pretty wild, being under 13. So I really don't have an opinion.
Well, in Cambodia today, I think it's Cambodia or Myanmar, the national currency or the but wherever the law is, legal tender is tether. So they're not that much different than us.
Oh, shit. Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard because, I feel like a lot of guys, they want to date these PodConf women, but they know. So maybe the conversation we should have, because it kind of seems like it's a bad idea to lie on the first date. I think we've all seen enough rom-coms to know that that doesn't end up well.
Yeah, I agree. 100%.
So the question is, how do you get on the level of these PodConf influencers. Like, how do you get invited to the Crypto Ball? And how do you catch the eye? Is it about your Bitcoin stack? Is it about doing something as revolutionary as starting the Silk Road? Is it about dressing well? Is it about all three together? Like, what are the pillars of catching the eye of Aubrey Strobel? Like, how do you get
the... You know what? Yeah. I think there's a lot of different paths to it, right? Like, Jason Lowry wrote, you know, a novel which was essentially a love letter to Adam Back about how good his algorithms are. And women read that. All the women in Bitcoin who read Software, they're reading it and it's like, this is poetry. And that's why they're impressed. Some people can start a Bitcoin podcast. Some people can start a Bitcoin blog, Stackchain magazine. Like, there's just a million different ways.
You know, I really don't know. I can't answer that question. I've been married before Bitcoin, so it's BC. But my wife has, you know, ridden long and accepted my craziness in Bitcoin and become to adjust to it and understand it. And I think that if you're looking for a woman and she's not into Bitcoin, that's okay. I think that she'll learn at some point.
Well, it's almost preferable that the woman's not into Bitcoin because that ensures that she doesn't have more Bitcoin than you. Right.
Yeah. She's not a Fed. Yeah.
I don't disagree with that. I don't agree either. So, you know, if she's got more, whatever.
What would you do, Bar Miner? So let's go back in time.
You also wouldn't want a girl that was orange pilled by another man.
Totally.
Yeah. You know what? I think that it's probably, you know, thinking about it, maybe probably be a good idea not to.
Yeah. I mean, how shitty would it be knowing that your orange pill Eskimo brothers with Dennis Porter?
Oh, yeah. That'd be a turnoff.
Who would be like the worst person for you to be orange pill Eskimo brothers with? Would it be Peter McCormick or would it be
Pop
Corey? Could you imagine being orange pill Eskimo brothers with Corey? Yeah. Or Pomp. Pomp's a good one.
So you're battling. Saying, like, I met this chick and I want to marry her, and like she was orange pilled by this guy. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like she's like, hey, I was orange pilled by Nico because I watched Simply Bitcoin.
And the options are who?
We're just trying to think. We're brainstorming on. So listeners, bear with us. Bar Miner's a little bit drunk.
I'm a little tired.
So,
and if your wife, you found out this girl that you thought was really cute. And like, assume you're not married, right? And you like, there's a lot of potential, and you find out that she was orange pilled by Dieter Bob.
I don't even know who that is. And then the what's the other guy? The Pompolano, whatever that guy is. I've never heard that dude. I've never heard. What's the other dude? The big buff guy. They all
Robert Breedlove.
Yes, correct. I heard him once. I listened to one podcast.
What would you do? You're on the first date. You're trying to impress her. You take her out to a sushi bar. You're ready to drop some money. You're showcasing your ability to afford your taxes. You can afford sushi and taxes because you listen to Bitcoin podcasts. And you start talking, find out that she likes Bitcoin, and then she starts quoting Robert Breedlove. What do you do? Do you get up and leave? Do you ask the waitress for the check? Do you sit it out and don't call her, or do you continue to go forward? Like, say she's like a 10 out of 10, super hot.
You know, my only experience with Breedlove is because Fundamentals said, listen to this podcast. Like,
Fundamentals told you to listen to Breedlove?
Yes, correct. Yeah. And okay.
Good to know.
I've been in Bitcoin since like 2018. I've heard of the guy, never listened to him. He talked about some bullshit, whatever, whatever. Oh, you got to listen to this guy that interviewed. So I listened. I wasn't impressed. So I don't know. It'd be a turnoff, to be honest with you. If she listened to Pomp or Reed Love or all these, you know, what Bitcoin did douchebag guy, the, what's the McCuck. I would probably, you know, I'd continue the date and be nice. And I just wouldn't, you know, follow up.
What if she told you that at first she was kind of like ashamed and she didn't want to tell you who it was that orange pilled her. And after a while, she's like, all right, I'll admit it. I was orange pilled by Predator.
You know what? I think that's a little different, to be honest. Because
you would respect that a little more.
I think so. Dude, it's really hard to tell. I've been committed for 20 years. But, you know, hypothetically, we're thinking about it. I think that particular instance would be a little different. So, like, she realized, she listened to it, she got orange pilled, but she realized the orange pill was, it was good, but the guy that gave it to her was wrong, right?
So, you would be okay if it was one of your buddies that orange pilled her, but you don't want it to be a PodConf influencer. Like, you don't want the guy participating in bum checks to do it. But, like, say it was Fundamentals or John or Max, you'd be okay with it.
That's a tough question. So let's say that it was one of my homies, right? Good friends. And they were interested in this chick, right? It's a really tough decision to make. So they were...
What if it was Dennis Porter?
Oh, you know, no issues there. Douchebag, right? The homies, right? Dude, it's really hard to answer this question, right? I've been married forever. I would absolutely accept any one of them. Any one of the ungovernable guys and the rock paper guys, base load, anyone. You know, my kid is a teenager. He doesn't give a fuck about what dad says. I get it.
This is something I think a lot of people should consider, because I think they, you know, when you have your kid, it's pretty common to have a godfather, right? And like the role of the godfather is to essentially step in if you're out of the picture. But you need an orange pill father, essentially, like a backup plan. The plan B, if you can't introduce plan B to your kid. You know what I mean?
I actually agree with that. I think it's great. I've never thought of that. So I think that at some point, if, you know, John would come down and say, God damn it, barn miner son, or, baseload comes down, God damn it, barn miner son, listen to your dad. I think incredible impact.
Listen here, motherfucker.
Exactly.
If you don't saving in Bitcoin, you're never going to be able to you're never going to be able to afford your taxes. You're never going to be able to get a hot wife. You're never going to be able to all the things that matter. You're never going to be able to build intergenerational wealth. You're never going to experience life in a thermodynamically sound way. You're going to be walking through life in credit card debt, and you're not going to be smoking cigarettes. You're going to be a fucking pussy unless you start listening to Bitcoin podcasts right now.
You know, my daughters get it more than my son, to be honest. They're younger. And the son, you know, he's at the point where, you know, dad's a douchebag. He doesn't know shit. But daughters, they earn Bitcoin, right? And they earned Bitcoin 2 years ago. And they see that they can actually pay taxes if they earn, you know, they fucking make money. They haven't sold the Bitcoin, but if they did.
So you've given your teenagers the ability to pay taxes.
Correct.
And that's like a valuable, like, they're learning very early.
You know, they have Bitcoin, but they haven't spent it or used it. But if they did, right, they have the ability to pay the tax, right?
Yeah, so it doesn't sound like you need like an orange-pilled godfather. It sounds like you've already done the work. You've already orange-pilled.
You know, I think
they're taxpayers.
I think that I'm almost 100% there. You know, I'm like 2 of 3, right?
So, you know, parenting daughters and parenting sons is different.
Absolutely. Right?
So there's not a concern that your son's going to be pregnant, right? But there's a concern that you're... So,
not anymore. Not anymore. You know, not since last week.
Yeah. Correct. legally, right?
Trump made it illegal for your son to get pregnant.
You know, I'm not good for the government making decisions for people, but you know,
like, so you parent differently, or most parents parent differently.
Then who are we parenting differently?
Well, then. Yeah, here, let me finish. So when it comes to allowing your kids to be orange-pilled, so if you come home one day and you see your son watching a Robert Breedlove interview, you probably wouldn't even think twice. You'd be like, cool. You know, Breedlove might not be the best influence on my son, but at least he's learning about Bitcoin. If you come home and you see your 16-year-old daughter watching a Robert Breedlove interview, what do you do? Would you be concerned? Would you shut off the TV? Like, how do you handle that situation? Do you pull your shotgun out and start tweeting at Robert Breedlove pictures that he needs to stay the fuck away from your daughter?
Stop orange pilling my daughter.
I honestly do not. I've not consumed enough Breedlove, but the minimal amount of him, I would totally be kind of pissed, right?
But it's like, especially if it was happening in like group chats or DMs, like it's one thing if it was on the public timeline, just asking questions of a public figure and getting answers. It was more of a personal orange pilling session.
You know, if she was on Instagram and like, I don't even know if the douchebag is on it. You know, if he's on that app, right? If she's on there like feeding his shit and reading his shit, I'd be pissed, to be honest.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I think there's a real concern of like, how do you insulate your daughter from the influence of Robert Breedlove? Yeah. Like, how do you protect her cherry from getting popped?
You know, I actually started my son off with a graphene phone, right? So he was not tracked and spied on. And after a year, he bitched so much that he wanted an iPhone. So I conceded, gave him the iPhone, and now all the kids have the iPhone. So now we have the ability to add an app that tracks everything they do, which, in my opinion, you give them the enough length to hang themselves, right? But now you can helicopter, which I don't. But that I don't know. I think that
Royal Wedding listen to their own podcast. You do want to try to curate the playlist for them.
Yes, correct.
But
that's fair.
Being able to surveil your kid at least gives you the ability to discuss. So, like, for example,
Amazon. Amazon knows all your purchase history, so they're able to show you the products that you will genuinely like, and then you're like, well, I could spend more money with Amazon. If you see your kid's fountain boost, you could say, hey, if you liked, you know, this one, I got this one by Fundamentals and Business Cat that you really don't like, and you can like kind of like help them find their own, like, you know, their own journey down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, and I'll support you with that, right? But I don't know, it's scary. It's different than we were kids. So I don't know the answer. I know that it's a conflict between.
What if you found out that they were talking to feds and they didn't know it?
I don't know the answer, to be honest.
Yeah, let's talk about the differences for kids today. So like when we were all kids, there weren't Bitcoin podcasts. There weren't Bitcoin conferences. There wasn't even Bitcoin at all.
No Bitcoin Twitter, right? Nothing.
Yeah. So there was like our parents didn't have to worry about who was orange pilling us.
Yeah, no influencers, no YouTuber, right?
Right. Just made sure we watched Nickelodeon. That was the only orange TV we got.
Exactly. That was your influence. Nickelodeon and Tiny Toons and, you know, Scrooge McDuck.
It turns out that everybody on Nickelodeon was pedophiles, but we didn't know that at the time.
Yes. Now we know. What has that done to us? How do we know?
Yeah, I guess we'll have to find out. I mean, a lot of
of SpongeBob memes. A lot of SpongeBob memes.
Yeah. A lot of things that you just have to wait and see what the repercussions are. Like, what are the repercussions of Bitcoin fixing everything?
You know what's wild is it's, you know, Scrooge McDuck or Nickelodeon Green Slime, 20, 30 years later, you figure it out, right? So, you know, who knows? We'll be half dead, right?
Yeah.
You know, Saifedean, you know, with his podcast, how is that going to help? I don't know. Maybe 20, 30 years, you'll find
can
out.
Can you imagine if we were able to grow up watching like Nickelodeon shows sponsored by Swan, like the, you know, where they climb the crag, the American Gladiator sponsored by Swan?
Yeah, or Fold, you know? You know, how would that end up, you know, how would we save, right? If Fold was in the mix back then.
It would have been pretty cool to get Bitcoin rewards as a kid.
Yeah, you know, if you spin that little dial, whatever, you know, you get your, like...
Yeah, instead of getting Pizza Hut gift certificates, if we got sats instead.
You got 50 sats on the spinner.
That would be generational wealth for there.
I don't know, man. I've never been a fan of the Fold card. The kids all usually, you know, they would hit the button for me, and they'd be like, oh, it sucks, 50 sats. What's this?
No. Did you KYC your kids and let Fold know that they were participating in this wheel spin? We might want to cut this part out. We don't want anybody to hear that.
No, you're cool. I'm good. You know, you can keep that in. But I had a KYC Fold account for, I don't know, maybe 6 months. And I just couldn't play the games. You know, the kids like the little spin thing, but there's no yield on it. Right.
I think a lot of our parents did too.
Celsius. You know, Celsius had yield.
Yeah, so I mean there was a lot of people chasing yield.
Yeah.
The thing I will say about the Fold wheel, why it's a really productive thing to do with your kids, is because, you know, they'll look at the 15 sats that they get or the 10 sats or whatever. You used to get real rewards on Fold and now you don't. But you have them spin the wheel and they're like, wow, that's nothing. I didn't get any rewards on this. That's an opportunity to have a conversation about time preference.
Absolutely. And people talk about the days when you go to a faucet and you can get like 10 coins, 5 coins for free and like how much that's worth today. People are going to look back at the good days of Fold when you used to get like a million sats on a spin just because you bought some lumber at Lowe's. And they're going to look at it like the faucet days.
I think I have any water in the studio. We got the sink in the bathroom. Bar miners taking a water break.
Well, that's probably good. We'll probably break into the fountain booth here soon.
Yeah, I agree. Barnes, okay. Barnes hydrated.
I am. I'm good.
Let's break into the fountain booth. So, barn miner, one of the things that we do every episode on Behind the Podcast is we read the boost from last podcast. So I assume you didn't listen to the last podcast.
No, admittedly, I do listen. I don't boost because I don't have my Lightning node set up to boost with whatever. I think I use Podverse. And I used to use the Albi. But my buddy who hosted the Albi is kind of dicked out on me and shut my node down. He basically rug pulled. I'm not going to say his name, but he is affiliated with the ungovernable guys. But anyways, the reason why I don't boost is because of him. I still contribute because I just sent you guys a whole, basically, you know, we do a once a month thing and donate some jerky funds. And I sent that to you, to your guys.
Well, Bob Meyer, we totally appreciate, and we do not, we were not calling you out for not boosting or listening to the last episode. You're probably the person who's listened to the most and contributed to the most to us. So you don't have to make excuses.
No, I'm not.
Most of our guests don't listen to us.
I listen to you. I just don't boost every time because I'm not a Lightning fan, to be honest. And anybody knows me, I hate Lightning. It sucks.
Lightning sucks for sure.
I use it because people use it and I sell jerky and people buy it with, you know, they use it. It's 50% of my revenue. It's not a big money maker. The goal is to donate money every month. I spend 30 hours a month. I make some beef jerky, sell it, and I donate. Kids make money. Somebody else makes money. And I make like, $20 an hour. So it's fun.
And you get to listen to Bitcoin podcasts while you do it.
Absolutely. I do. So I got like, you know, a 4 to 7 hour day. I get to put the earbuds in. I'm good. I catch up.
So the question I was going towards, we attempted to record before, but then we had some technical difficulties, so we had to restart. So we were talking about your Barn Jerky donation to us. So you donated over 100,000 sats to the Bugle, which we really appreciate.
Yeah, you know, I like to think about it in fiat. So it was like $120 fiat. You know, it's fiat business. We give it away.
It's 120 USDT. That's right. How we do it. The tax.
You guys aren't a 501c3, so I can't write it off. But it's all good. So the corporation will donate it because you know we like you. So it doesn't matter if I get a tax write off. You guys are doing good shit.
That's really means a lot to me. So we don't make it easier for you to afford your taxes, but we're valuable enough for you.
Absolutely. You know, I did like, you know, Pod 256, they're 501c3, and I did Bitcoin Bay, my local Bitcoin meetup is deductible. And
shout out to Green Candle and Brandon.
My man.
He's going to come on here.
Good. And you know, I was a big part in him getting approved of PodConf, right?
Interesting. Yeah, so he owes his PodConf approval to Barn Miner.
Correct. I lobbied for him.
So the question I had for you, Barn, was did you get a chance to listen to our last episode with Mike?
I listened to most of it, not the end, in the last, I don't know, maybe 15 minutes. So I heard him talking about, you know, Atlas Shrugged, or, and then a lot of snickering. I think I got halfway through it.
All right. So this is our 8th episode of this show, and you are our first guest to have listened to at least part of the previous episode, which I think is a pretty big moment for Behind the Podcast.
You know, it's really hard to get 40 hours in now. Before, maybe 2 years ago, I would do it like hardcore. I would travel, I'd drive, you know, maybe, you know, travel 3 or 4 times a month, drive 12-hour days. I get my hours in. But, you know, today I can't. It's just it's very difficult, right? But the Bugle is one of the ones I do listen to.
Hell yeah. Well, we appreciate it. So we don't have to recap the episode because you listened to half of it and you did the recap for us. We did talk about Atlas Shrugged. But yeah, let's go through the boost. So our first boost of the episode was from Fundamentals for 100,000 sats. And he said, great to hear my green light brother back on the mic. HHR for life.
Let me quote him. That's so gay. Fundamentals.
He said, that's so gay.
Correct. That's his quote. He has his own sticker and Telegram.
I do see that sticker.
How hard do you have to work, or what do you have to do to get your own Telegram sticker? That's a pretty high honor.
Well, you have to know somebody that can, you know, factually do the work to create it and submit it and post it. So, you know, it's not too difficult, but you know, most people won't post your shit unless it's cool, right?
Exactly.
So what does Fundamentals mean, green light brother? Does that have to be with being a Jew? Is it like some code?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Hold on, look it up.
You know, I can't answer that accurately.
Yeah. It means giving somebody a thumbs up.
You know, green means go. That's all I know.
What happened to Richard?
Oh, he's here.
Well, thank you for the boost, Fundamentals. Big boost, 100,000 sats. Mike was a great guest. I agree. I'm looking forward to high hash rate coming back. I hope it comes back. We need to all harass Mike to make sure it comes back.
Yeah, I miss Mike too, to be honest. You know who I missed too is LC, that Yankee guy in the New England, the podcast. He's gone, disappeared.
Who? We have a missing podcaster.
Correct.
LC Hoddle.
Correct.
Oh, that's right.
He did.
He mines water, right? He goes old style, old school. Mines water. Straight disappeared.
He did the Blue Collar Bitcoin podcast, I think, right?
He was on it, maybe. But no, he did it with Cheeto. God damn, I can't remember the name of it. We'll have to put it in the show notes, right?
What? Blue Collar. Blue Collar is the fireman from Chicago.
Yeah, it's not the fireman, guys. It's LC and Cheeto.
I remember LC. I forgot what his podcast. I thought he did Blue Collar, but
no, those are the firefighter dudes.
He did Blue Collar Plebcast, not Blue Collar, not the fireman.
He had a podcast called Blue Collar Plebcast.
Yeah.
Curious to say, I don't know.
I feel like naming your podcast like that is like naming your podcast What Bitcoin Did Pleb.
Yeah, that's what people feel remembered, apparently.
It's pretty gay. I'll quote Fundamentals. It's so gay.
All right. Well, thank you, Fundamentals, for the boost.
And your quote. We love it. People have made stickers out of your quote.
The next one is from Business Cat. He says, powerful mic flex, 10,000 sats. Bitcoin is in a short window to reshape our planet before the nearest star shakes our Etch-a-Sketch again. Business Cat, he's big on the cataclysmic events that are, he thinks the polls are, but he got Mike shook about the poll shifts. We talked about that last week, and he's got a very low time preference.
Yeah, I think he's got both, man. I think he sees it both ways, right? So long term, short term, he's a different animal.
He's a smart cat.
Absolutely.
And a smart business cat.
He dries jerky with his S9s, right? So he did this way before I was making my own jerky.
That's very based.
Which I don't dry my jerky with miners. But he did, and he does, so
that's all. What's stopping you?
Well, my miners suck in lots of mosquitoes and moths, and I personally would not eat that, so I wouldn't give it to other people.
Right, we don't eat the bugs. Some people are going to eat the bugs, thinking that they're eating non-KYC jerky.
Exactly.
Yeah, I learned today that Rock Paper Bitcoin is going to start having guests on the show. So that's an interesting development. That's some alpha for the podcast listeners out there. But yeah, I would consider Rock Paper Bitcoin one of my favorite podcasts. I need to listen to the most latest one. You know, Fundamentals has been on a podcast tear recently, and I've got a backlog that I gotta work through.
Oh, he's definitely on tour, but it's his time. You should listen. He's got all kinds of good shit. He's a math guy. If you don't know math, he will teach you math.
Yeah, I mean he's also retired, so he's got time to dedicate to it.
And a comedian. You know, he's proven to be a comedian. He's been on stage, right? He's been there, done that. He's been on your pod. He's really a good influence, right?
So one of the things I'm concerned about for Fundamentals, so I know he's working on writing a book. He's doing a lot of podcasting. I'm concerned that we need to make sure. So Business Cat, this is a challenge to you. We need to keep Fundamentals in his lane, because there's this challenge, which is how do you not become absorbed by PodConf? I feel like the path that many people go on, which is a bummer, is they start a podcast, they write a book, they blow up, and then all of a sudden, PodConf begins trying to seduce them and lure them in.
So what would your advice be to Fundamentals?
I think it's our responsibility of friends to hold him accountable and to remind him that PodConf is an enemy.
Your friends, your favorite group chat members, other podcasters, grab them by the ear, yank them aside, and be like, hey, become a PodConf.
Totally. Well, thank you for the boost, Business Cat. Appreciate it. Next boost is from Rod Palmer. for 10,000 sats. Rod says, Richard Griesser is worse at naming podcasts than Andy Edstrom is at naming books. You want to expand on that?
Yeah, we just had a lot of different funny names that we could have named the episode, and we just could build back better with Mike, which is kind of like Why Buy Bitcoin, the book by Andy Edstrom, which is kind of is not a very inspiring podcast episode. So just a little constructive criticism.
I mean, I felt like it was a very appropriate name for the episode because we were talking about him potentially relaunching High Hash Rate. We're talking about, I believe we talked about the LA fires, right? And rebuilding Los Angeles. There was the connotation with Biden. I think we have to, like, Build Back Better is a great phrase. And I think we need to reclaim it because, you know, there was a lot of discussion about Atlas Shrugged, right? And the book Atlas Shrugged is about people going on strike. All the people that have a thinking brain, they just say, hey, we're going to let the NPCs just destroy society. And when they destroy it, we're going to build back better. But I'll stand by my naming of that episode. But I hear your criticism, and I'm ignoring it.
Yeah, I disagree. I think the name has been botched. It's been hijacked. You're screwed. Concept good. Theory good. Name is bad.
You know, maybe I was too
early. It's good in theory. It's good in theory.
Correct. I agree. I agree with that.
Maybe I was too early with this one. It doesn't mean that it was a bad one. It just might mean that I'm too early. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Too early or off.
Years from now, it's good. But you can't reuse that.
I'm too much of an innovator. I'm too ahead of the curve when it comes to naming podcasts.
Bob on guard.
Right. You may have thought of that earlier, but they hijacked it. You're fucked.
Well.
Sorry, bro.
A year from today, when I name the podcast Build Back Better, you guys will be praising me.
Yeah, I'm good with that. I'm just saying today. No go.
Got it. All right. Well, thanks for the boost, Rod.
John is next. J-O-N.
Yeah, you can read it if you want.
Going to release by NFT line. GLOB. Gorgeous ladies of Bitcoin. First one, Lynn, the hard money. Alden, yes. And there's a link.
Well, I wonder, we didn't ask you, but do you think that Lynn Alden is hot?
Absolutely. You know, I think she has two ears, too. I know that there's not a lot of proof of ear, but I think she does.
So you're a two-lobe truther.
Absolutely. You know, a lot of guys say, like, she's a dude, whatever. She's not.
I think all those guys that say she's a dude are probably gay.
You know, they're gay, but they don't know that they're gay.
Maybe she orange-pilled her girlfriends, and they don't want to deal with that psychology.
You know, maybe they orange-pilled, you know, she orange-pilled their girlfriends, and then the girlfriends became gay. So
she has more Bitcoin than them, so they feel inferior.
Absolutely.
Sorry. It's probably that she has more Bitcoin, but it's probably because that she's so hot that she transcends, like, even a gay person feels aroused when they look at Lynn Alden, at her beauty. Like, there's something moving emotionally, sexually, but emotionally arousing, looking at her beauty, that they project this idea onto her that she's a man because she's so beautiful. Like, they want her to secretly be a man. They want her to be like Michael Obama, but she's not. So you just have to get over it. You have to, if you're a gay man and you think that Lynn is a man, you're wrong. And you just have to get over it. You have to stop coping. Let go of the cope. Just accept that she's a woman and that she's fucking hot.
You know, or if you claim to not be gay, right, or heterosexual, and then you think she's a man, I think that you're gay.
Yeah.
I mean, right?
However, this is a challenge to the gay men in the closet to just own it. Just come out of the closet and own it.
Yeah, if you think that Lynn is not gay, or, you know, she's not a dude, you're gay. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, John.
That's my thought.
Yeah. And yeah. Last piece is from Pies. Pies, Hunter Sats. I was going to wait for my tax return, but I'm such a value junkie that I had to load more sats onto the fountain and start boosting again. I'm going cheap cunt style and restricting my fountain boost.
100 sats, dude, is kind of weak. 200. To be honest. One Pies, 100 sats.
But here's the thing. Pies listens and boosts every podcast on Fountain. If he boosted 10,000 sats to everyone, he would have to be as rich as Michael Saylor.
All right, I'll give him that. I don't use the fountains, the custodial nonsense. I mean, I get that it's, you know, compliant.
When somebody releases their podcast for the first time and they haven't even tweeted about it yet, Pies has already listened and boosted.
Okay, I'll forgive him. Still weak, though. 100 sats. I mean, you know, we gave 100,000 sats like 2 days ago. So, but, you know, it's cool. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate you coming on the show, Brian Werner. You saved the night.
You know, I'm happy to be the fourth selection of the night to fill in. So I appreciate that too.
Well, you were already on the docket of people that we wanted to get on the show.
No, it's all good. I mean, I'm here. It happened. Good stuff. Good times.
So just out of curiosity, who do you want to hear on the show? Who would get you really excited?
Oh, man. So you had Fundamentals. I really like the guy. I guess maybe Baseload would be good. Have you had Carl on? Is he coming on? Carl, Crazy Carl?
We were talking about having Carl on today.
He's a very avid Lightning lover and a booster of the Nosters. I think those two would be my top two picks. Maybe John. Just, you know, John likes to talk, so we love to hear him.
We love John. So one of the things we're trying to do is we're trying to, with Behind the Podcast, we're trying to get people on the show that we haven't had yet. But we've had...
That nobody's heard, right?
Yeah. Okay. But I think there's going to be opportunities in the coming year.
Yeah, for some collaboration, right?
Well, we'll probably be sitting down in person, and we'll be having an unrecorded Bitcoin podcast, and it'll be going so well that we'll have to turn on the recording. And that's been my experience every time I'm with John. I'm talking with John. It's always a Bitcoin podcast, whether it's recorded or not. Sometimes, you know, we're just talking. We've got our phones in our pocket, and we're just doing a Bitcoin podcast for the NSA.
Yeah, just for you two in the NSA, right? I mean, that's how it works out. Because John's mentality is basically podcasts 100% of the day. Like when he talks to his kids, his wife, he's like, he's the same character, right? Whether you talk to him in person on the phone or you listen to him on the pod, he's John.
That's what's so great about him and why he's such a good podcaster.
He's genuine, right?
Well, it's reps. You know, you got to think that somebody that's been practicing as much as he is going to be pretty good at it.
You know, his life, I don't know if his life goal was to be a podcaster, but I think that it was to be like a morning DJ, and he has achieved that. And I'm proud of him. He's very good at it. He should have been one years ago, 20 years ago, but, you know, he's there. He loves it, and he does well. I'm proud of him.
Hell yeah. Well, thank you for coming on the show. This is Behind the Podcast. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Hope you have a good one.
Hey, you know, I'm glad you're the fourth reserve. Peace out.
You're the podcast saver. Coming in clutch.
Yo.